All topics discussed are meant for educational purposes only. Talk with your doctor before starting any new treatments. Welcome to Tell the Truth Faster, hosted by Stuart Altshuler, marriage and family therapist. Stay tuned to find out how you can open your mind to new possibilities in life.
Welcome to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. I'm a licensed psychotherapist in Los Angeles, and this is a show where every week we deal with issues relating to mental health from a holistic perspective, meaning body, mind, and spirit, knowing that finding a sense of balance, conscious awareness of what's going on mentally, emotionally, psychologically, spiritually, and the more conscious we are of all those aspects, and the more aware we can be of how each plays a factor in our lives, the more a sense of balance we can find and create for ourselves. And that's part of what therapy is about and part of what the healing process is about. So every week we discuss topics that hopefully will stretch your mind and hearts and open you up to some possibilities of how life might be different for you or how you might be of service in the world to others. And part of that is tonight's topic. If some of you listened in last week, you heard a very tender and honest description of what it was like to be a gay teen on the streets of Los Angeles by my guest Gabriel. And I've gotten a number of reactions from people about how moved they were by his story and how honest and genuine he was in reporting what life was like as a runaway teenager on the streets of Los Angeles who happened to be gay, and where help came to him through the Los Angeles Gay and Lesbian Center, and how his life is turning around at age 24. And if felt to me like the story wasn't quite complete, that Gabriel certainly enlightened a lot of people, including me, about the experience and horrors and pain that a lot of these teenagers experience, and not just gay and lesbian, bisexual, or transgender teenagers, but you know, anything that's precipitating a teenager to leave their home. Means that there's pain, means that there's struggle, means that there's a sense of alienation and fear and a need to survive, which often makes them run. But being gay, lesbian, or bisexual, or transgender adds a whole other component, and those are some of the things that Gabriel talked about last week. So where I felt things were kind of incomplete had to do with talking more about the help that is out there. And hopefully, my guests will be on the line with us in a little bit to talk about a program here in Los Angeles called the Gay and Lesbian Adolescent Social Services, which is part of the Gay and Lesbian Center here. But I want to start by talking a little bit about what is going on with gay and lesbian youth in terms of the street teenagers, the runaways, what some people call the throwaways. There's an article in Fab magazine this week, actually, that offers some statistics. It says 15,000 homeless youth sleep on the streets of Los Angeles every night, said a spokesperson for the Los Angeles Gay and Lesbian Center, even though that person's not mentioned. Nearly 6,000 of them, 6,000 of those 15,000, identify themselves as lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, or questioning, and many of them are homeless because of their sexual orientation. The article goes on to say, tragically, once on the streets, they often are vulnerable to sexual predators and gang violence, forced to engage in survival sex in exchange for food and shelter, and are prone to substance abuse as a means of deadening their pain and their fear. In an article in Blade, which is gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender news magazine that comes out of Orange County here in Southern California, the article was in their May 2002 issue. titled, it was a focus article, 500,000 Homeless Gay, Lesbian, Bisexual, and Transgender Youth. And it says 13 die every day. And this article is about their stories. The interesting thing that the article starts out with is interviewing somebody locally in Orange County, Diana Meyer, who's a youth service manager for the Gay Lesbian Community Service Center in Orange County Youth Drop-In Center. And Meyer says that in her experience, and I'm quoting the article here, she's not seeing many kids living on the streets in Orange County. Most escape to Los Angeles and West Hollywood. She's quoted as saying, anyone who gets on the streets here probably isn't going to last very long. They might be able to find a safe bridge to sleep under with a bunch of other kids, crashing in squats, working their way up the coast. They're a very transient population. They'll be under the bridge for a couple of weeks, then the next week they're not there anymore. Sometimes they'll hook up with other people and drive to other places. We have some minors who have just basically moved out of their parents' house and they're crashing at a friend's house, or they'll hook up with older gay people in a cruising area and be taken care of for a while. Basically what she's saying is that in more rural areas or less populated areas or more suburban areas, what happens is the kids aim for the big cities, which means places like Los Angeles, San Francisco, maybe in California, San Diego, but other main cities like Chicago, Miami, New York, and others, just like any other transients and stuff, will be the focal point for a lot of these teenagers who are running away or being thrown away. And so the problem is that much greater in a city like Los Angeles, where the kids that are on the streets are not just the local runaways, but they could be runaways from all over the country. And that particular article in Blade offers some other statistics. And this is actually quoted by the executive director of GLASS, Terry D. Crescenzo, who actually, I believe, founded the organization. And Terry's quoted as saying, she began GLASS because every child deserves a home, she says. I actually had a pretty swell career with Los Angeles County as a treatment team leader and a training person in the probation department. I had a nice, fairly sizable part-time private psychotherapy practice. Life was grand, except I saw how badly our kids were treated by the system. I eventually reached a point where I couldn't just keep going to work, having a swell job and acting as if this isn't happening. I felt that I had to do something. She's talking about the foster care system. And she says that many times that's at the root of the problem. She says 40% of the homeless population are products of the foster care system. At least half of them identified as gay or lesbian when they were younger. Now, the problem is that there are a lot of foster parents who, when they find out that the kid they may have taken in is gay or lesbian, this may be against their religion, it may be morally upsetting to them, and again, these kids that are already having problems that are sent to foster care homes are now being thrown out of their foster care homes and end up on the streets. And what I gather from this article that Terry said is there needs to be a place to a safety net for these kids that are in the foster care system. So elsewhere in the article, they quote Terry Muscarella, who works with youth as part of GLASS with the Stonewall Mental Health Day program, which is also part of GLASS. And she's quoted as saying, not only were the kids out on the street, but they were gay kids on the street. They were treated even more horrifically than just the regular normal runaway teen population. They've had horrendous lives, enduring beatings and drugs and rapes. She goes on to say she tries to give them hope and works on their self-esteem. She says, I think one of the most important things is to empower them. We teach them that they are an important person. Terry goes on to say, when I do therapy with them, it's not just that they're a gay, that they're really a smart, creative person who happens to be gay. So a lot of what we're seeing are these kids that, you know, we've talked often on many of these shows about coming out, you know, as a teenager or a young adult, and how difficult that can be in and of itself. In the elementary school age kids, if they're not, you know, masculine boys or feminine girls and stuff, they may have endured a lot of teasing and a lot of abuse from their schoolmates, never mind the sense that, you know, their parents may have had and their sense of rejection or alienation even at home. So you're dealing immediately with self-esteem issues. You're dealing immediately with kids who have been taught that they're not good enough. They're taught that they're defective. They're taught and that life is painful, and that no matter what they do, there won't be adults around that can support them and nurture them and help them because they're defective in some way. And so what's happening in a lot of major cities is a lot of these kids get into drugs, they get into prostitution, they get into a survival mode. And what Gabriel talked about last week in his very touching way was how very often, you know, on the streets, they become small families where certain teens will find one another and help one another and watch each other's backs and, you know, teach one another how to survive on the streets. And at one point in the show last week, we clearly heard Gabriel choking up when all of a sudden he started thinking and seeing the faces of the kids he was on the streets with, realizing he hasn't seen some of them in years, and actually making the statement that, you know, his fear is that most of them are dead, that they didn't make it to the homes, they didn't make it to the programs the way he did, and he didn't think about that very often. But in going back over it, he was quite moved, and you could tell that there was some grieving to be done on his part in terms of how painful it was to think back at that time, but think back at how much pain he and all the others around him were dealing with, how scared they all were. And so tonight's show, we're going to talk about the programs that are out there for these teenagers, particularly here in Los Angeles, what they do, why they're doing it, and how effective they are. And according to Gabriel, in his case, it saved his life. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back for Tell the Truth Faster.
Tell the Truth Faster. We'll be right back after this station break.
Stuart Altschuler, a licensed practicing psychotherapist since 1974, wants to let you know about his website at www.tellthetruthfaster.com. You will find the resources you need in these areas: self-empowerment, positive thinking, attention deficit disorder, individual and group HIV/AIDS counseling, addictions and compulsive behavior, intimacy and relationships. Get the information you need on these topics and more. Visit www.tellthetruthfaster.com. There's even a place to email Stuart with your questions, comments, and requests for information regarding his work. At www.tellthetruthfaster.com, you can find additional links for groups, organizations, and websites dedicated to help you identify and heal the issues you are experiencing. Visit www.tellthetruthfaster.com today.
You could listen to us, because at Langer Netspan Jewelers, we can tell you why we're the Valley's clear-cut choice for affordable fine jewelry. I mean, we have thousands of rings, pendants, earrings, bracelets, diamonds, pearls, and more. And they're all at half the price you'd expect to pay elsewhere. But maybe you'd rather hear it from our customers.
I find that Langert Netspan just has a wonderful selection.
I've been pleased with the value I've received at Langert Netspan.
Much more personal service compared to your mall stores.
I feel like I have a personal jeweler. It's not just going to a jewelry store to buy a gift.
They really do go out of their way to make you feel special.
With the quality of stuff that I wear, I would probably pay half again as much from a mall jeweler.
You know the qualities there if they've been around as many years as they have been.
I just love the store.
You've heard it from our customers. Now come in and let our quality products and low prices speak for themselves. Langert Netspan Jewelers, 15th Avenue in Camelback, and Dobson and Southern in Mesa.
Hello, this is Dr. Christine Wallace. I'm known as a psychic, healer, and spiritual advisor. Tune into my show, Inspirations, on Sunday nights from 9 to 11 p.m. Each Sunday, I take calls from listeners who are seeking direction, healing, or spiritual renewal, and I share my psychic gifts and intuition to put them on the right path. So connect with me or just tune in as other listeners share their stories and receive the answers they seek.
This is Hot Talk 1100 KFNX.
Tell the Truth Faster is back. Here's Stuart Altshuler.
Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler, and tonight I'm doing my first ever all year two-part topic. Last week we did Teens Lost on the Streets, and with a former homeless gay teenager named Gabriel. And this week we're doing part two of Teens Lost on the Streets. And a friend of mine actually had been on the show almost a year ago. Jim Michael was going to be my guest tonight again because he's now working with Glass. And as sometimes happens, things with some clients and stuff demanded his attention. And I'm very grateful and excited to have at the last minute, so I give her a lot of credit for doing this at the last minute, Sandy Ron, who's the director of intake for the Gay and Lesbian Adolescent Social Services Program at the Los Angeles Gay and Lesbian Center here, obviously, in Los Angeles. Sandy, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Can you tell us a little bit more about yourself and what you do as director of intake at GLASS?
Yeah, I started with GLASS probably in 97. And I started actually running one of the group homes. I was the administrator of one of the group homes there. And prior to that, I'd worked in another residential facility. And now I'm the director of intake at GLASS. And basically what I do is interview and place the kids in our group homes, foster homes, take referrals for our outpatient program, our mental health program, do outreach work to schools and different departments and how to work with gay and lesbian kids or what to do if a crisis is happening. How do I work with these kids?
Mm-hmm. I'd actually like to get a little personal with you for a minute in terms of why you got into this field of working with, GLBT teens. What motivated you to start working with this particular population?
Part of my motivation was having worked in another residential facility, I just kind of saw the bias and unfair treatment gay kids were receiving and how a lot of agencies didn't want to work with them or were terminating them based on that aspect of them alone. Mm-hmm. And the other part was to give back to the community to which I belong.
Mm-hmm.
So
very good. And you said you've been with GLASS since 97.
Yes.
You heard some of the statistics that I gave out from these articles. It's been really actually fulfilling to see so many articles recently on these kids. It seems like they've been getting a lot more attention than they have been previously. Is there a reason for that you can think of?
I would say part of the reason we've gotten more publicity and more awareness maybe is simply because with DCFS, we saw all this homophobia going on with Department of Children and Family Services and with the CSWs that work within the department, their own fears coming out are not knowing how to work with these kids. So Terry DiCrescenzo, who you had mentioned before, our executive director, formed a homophobia task force with the Department of Children and Family Services in hopes to make things better for the kids that are in the system and to raise awareness that they need their how to take care of their needs.
Great. And I'm thinking also that maybe the Matthew Shepard in situations like that that have gotten so much publicity has maybe drawn more attention to gay, lesbian youth. What are your thoughts on that? There have been some very tragic things that have called attention to a lot of these kids, like Matthew Shepard.
Yeah, the Matthew Shepard and the incident that happened in Riverside not too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
Those all definitely, people need to be aware these kids are there and they need help.
Yeah.
Instead of rejection and abandonment, are told they're not okay or they're not, they're below human standards.
Right. Also, one of the things that I said in my introduction was the fact that it seems evident that what we're dealing with here in Los Angeles is not just Los Angeles's kids, but it seems to be a magnet for kids from all over the country. Like I think New York probably is, Miami probably is, San Francisco, Chicago. How does that add to the problem or to the demands that are put on organizations, say, in Los Angeles like GLASS?
It really increases it because most of the homeless kids that are coming off the street are rarely from, native Californians. Most of them are from, Wisconsin, all the states in between.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to track down, backgrounds on some of these kids is very hard to do, to get transcripts, to get immunization records, the birth certificates, the normal stuff that you would get as a kid from your family so that you can move on with your life. It makes it very difficult.
Do you see that many of the kids that you end up doing the intakes on or coming into the program are kids whose families really don't want them back?
The majority of them, yes.
Really?
Yeah.
What I'd like to do, actually, is now talk about GLASS, and I think we're going to be having a break here in a moment, so it'll give you something to think about. In terms of, not all the kids show up to your office for an intake. Some
right.
of them, there's outreach to try and reach some of these kids who are still on the streets, and I'd like to actually talk a bit about how GLASS or who does that outreach actually on the sidewalks of Los Angeles and Hollywood and West Hollywood to let these kids know that the program's there and to help them overcome their suspiciousness of the adults that have been so, I think, entrenched in them, which is why they're running away to begin with. So what's the first line of reaching out to these kids?
Yeah, we have what's called a mobile outreach unit.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically a van that goes out on the street every night of the week. And it has a doctor on board and a counselor. And what we provide, obviously doctor service, HIV testing, blankets, food, referrals to get hooked into the system or if the kids don't want to get into the system, for shelters, for independent living programs that are set up. And so that really is where it starts with the kids on the street.
So you're actually taking food to them.
Right.
Is it found that on that level, because there's food there or what, that the kids will show up there, even if they're not ready yet to go into a building or something? What is it that's attracting these kids? How do they know that this mobile van is around?
the initial attraction with any people who are running those kind of units is the free food, the bus tokens, the you know, the blankets, the clothes, et cetera.
The survival tools.
Right.
We're going to take a break here right now and come back and talk about what the mobile unit might experience and then go on from there, okay?
Okay.
So stay tuned, everyone, and feel free to call in, and we'll be right back.
Tell the truth faster. We'll be right back after this station break.
Stuart Altschuler, a licensed practicing psychotherapist since 1974, wants to let you know about his website at www.tellthetruthfaster.com. You will find the resources you need in these areas: self-empowerment, positive thinking, attention deficit disorder, individual and group HIV/AIDS counseling, addictions and compulsive behavior, intimacy and relationships. Get the information you need on these topics and more. Visit www.tellthetruthfaster.com. There's even a place to email Stuart with your questions, comments, and requests for information regarding his work. At www.tellthetruthfaster.com, you can find additional links for groups, organizations, and websites dedicated to help you identify and heal the issues you are experiencing. Visit www.tellthetruthfaster.com today.
Echo Magazine keeps you up to date on gay and lesbian issues and events that should matter to everyone. This award-winning bi-weekly magazine provides news, features, and editorials that are written almost entirely by locally based professional journalists. Plus, their website, www.echomag.com, is updated daily with hot news and information. Distributed at over 150 newsstands, street boxes, bars, and businesses, Echo Magazine keeps Arizona's GLBT community connected with news, arts and entertainment, health, and more. Echo Magazine is also a proud sponsor and participant of the Joe Amico Radio Show on AM 1100 KFNX. Tune in Thursday evenings at 10 for the Echo Magazine Weekly News Update. For more information on how to get your free copy of Echo Magazine, call 602-266-0550 or go to their website at www.echomag.com. That's 602-266-0550 or visit echomag.com.
Every Tuesday morning at 10, tune in to Adjusting Your Life, a show that will discuss all healthcare-related issues and offer useful and helpful information aimed at bettering your health. Your hosts, Dr. Rob and Dr. Frank, will also engage in controversial discussions of healthcare in America and will be taking your calls live on the air. Adjusting Your Life is aired every Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. That's Adjusting Your Life only on Hot Talk AM 1100 KFNX.
Kickin' Bass is the world's strongest fish attractant. This product outperforms any other fish attractant on the market today with an oil base which keeps it on your lure for hours. Kickin' Bass is used and endorsed by Jimmy Houston, host of ESPN2 Television's Jimmy Houston Outdoors. Visit them at www.kickinbass.com or call 1-800-605-BASS. If you're not using Kickin' Bass, you're just casting.
Here's your current Hot Talk 1100 KFNX weather forecast. This is the 50,000-watt powerhouse station, serving all of Arizona and beyond. Hot Talk, 1100 KFNX, Cave Creek, Phoenix, a division of North American Broadcasting Company.
Tell the Truth Faster is back. Here's Stuart Altschuler.
Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altschuler, and you're listening to Tell the Truth Faster, as I said. And tonight's topic is a follow-up from last week, Teens Lost on the Streets. My guest tonight is Sandy Ron, who's director of intake for the Gay and Lesbian Adolescent social services program here in Los Angeles. Sandy, we were talking before the break about how the organization actually gets the kids on the streets and tries to get them past their suspiciousness and mistrust of adults and institutions and programs and things like that. It's kind of neat, actually, that there's a doctor as well as a counselor that goes out 7 nights a week. And it makes sense to me what you said about the fact that it's the food and the blankets and, you know, the bus tokens that attract them there. What happens at that point? How long does it take before someone's willing to say, oh, good, I'm going to call this number you gave me and make an appointment?
It varies from kid to kid that's out on the street. Most of the kids will go back and forth to the unit a couple times before they'll actually make the outreach to get the connections in to get more services.
Mm-hmm.
It takes them, you know, building some trust and relationship with the, you know, the staff that we do have there out on the streets to do that. And, I mean, that's how they eventually do it. And a lot of it's word of mouth. Glass is pretty well known on the streets by the gay and lesbian kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's known in the foster care system and the probation system. So a lot of times the kids are asking for our services without, you know, us even sometimes being aware of it.
Because the other kids that have been there are offering the credibility to them.
Right.
Yeah, that makes sense. Is the doctor and the counselors that ride the, are they paid or are they volunteers?
It's a mix.
Mm-hmm.
Some are paid and some are volunteers. Mm-hmm.
So the organization clearly appreciates people calling to volunteer to help out and a lot of things.
Right.
Okay. So what happens at that point? Say somebody is now, you know, they're tired of the street itself and they feel more comfortable actually participating in the program on a different level. Is that when they get to you as a director of intake, or is there another level that many of them will go to first?
Well, what will happen is the kids will get from that level, once they're interested, one of my many phone numbers, because I'm on call basically 24 hours a day. And from there, I can usually hook them into whatever system of care they're looking for. If they're looking to actually get into the foster care system, the Department of Children and Family Services has a runaway adolescent program where we can get the kids into the system that way. If they're looking for housing, I have other alternatives for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just plug the kids in, and we know enough of the people offering the shelter care and the housing to be able to get them in the door.
Mm-hmm. Now, the foster care situations, because of these kids, are most of the foster homes gay and lesbian foster parents, or is it heterosexual homes, too, that are willing to take these kids in?
We have both. We have 5 residential group home programs for the kids who need a high level of care.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean, a high level of care?
A lot of psychiatric, individual group therapy type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they're working with a lot more issues that a normal foster parent probably couldn't handle on their own.
Okay.
You know, they're getting about 2 hours of some kind of therapy daily. In the group homes.
Mm-hmm.
In our foster homes, our parents are a variety. We have gay and lesbian parents, and we also have heterosexual parents.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very open and aware of, you know, they don't take any bias.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll work with kids.
Now, so, if they're in foster homes, does that mean they're then going to the local public schools then?
Yes.
And what's done within the public schools to sensitize the environment for these kids who probably have already had some horrific times in public schools?
We work with the schools very closely and do a lot of training and awareness for them.
Mm-hmm.
Many of the schools that we utilize have Project 10 in them, which is a gay and lesbian safe environment.
Right.
So we try to, you know, put the kids where we know they're going to be safe if they get gay bashing, because obviously it does happen.
Mm-hmm.
We will generally end up pulling them out of school and putting them into smaller settings where we know they'll be safe.
Great. So you really follow those kids closely when they're in foster and back into the school system.
Right.
Because most of them obviously are in school systems in other cities and towns. So even being in a large public school like this probably is enough culture shock for them also.
Right. And they're still, you know, no matter how much awareness you do, they're going to get gay bashing.
Sure.
And all that. I mean, so it's, you know, we're very upfront and we're very out and available when that does happen.
Mm-hmm. There's an issue that I've mentioned earlier on the show today, in this article in Blade magazine. Are you aware of the article?
It's called
Living on the Street.
I haven't read it, but yeah, I know it's in there.
Okay, that's the one I quoted
right.
Terry in earlier. But they also quote Jason Whitman,
yes.
Who's executive director and president of Los Angeles Youth Supportive Services, which was founded in 1995, according to this article. And I'm reading this quote because I think it's probably one of the biggest problems you're facing with most of these kids. And what he says he identifies the trap that some kids fall into is hustling. And he says, let's say the kid is 15 years old and highly sexed, like most 15-year-olds. They would gladly give away sex to whomever will take it. They have limited contact with gay kids of their own age. They find their way out on the street and find that there are adults who are quite willing to pay them to have fun at a pretty high price, a higher price than they could get at any legitimate job for many years, Whitman says. They're making $100 or $200 a night. Why go home anymore? Why go to school? Why not just live in a motel at $50 a night and spend the rest of the money on frivolities? This is the trap. Because when they get to be 23 and now dealing with all of the not great feelings of hustling, they're also starting to look older than their years and have some sort of methamphetamine habit. Now they're making $20 to $30 with no education and estranged from everybody, end quote. How do you handle that part of it? You know, obviously these are kids where at first sex is fun, but a lot of them are being totally exploited on the streets, and yet for them, it's more money than they've ever dreamed of so quickly. So how does the organization educate these kids or handle this when it comes up?
A lot of that is just, most of the kids will prostitute or hustle for, you know, money to survive on.
Mm-hmm.
But it's replacing that, because usually it's never really about the money in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
It's about, you know, somebody loving and caring about them. They're taking that as love and acceptance.
Right.
So it's, you know, teaching them that you don't have to do that to be loved and accepted for who you are.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long process,
right.
But you can, you know, you just have to replace it with something positive
mm-hmm.
for them.
It's the issue of immediate gratification, from what I gather you're saying,
right.
Which is, to have somebody wanting my body and touching my body makes me feel right now that somebody desires me and wants me, even if it's artificial, even if it's just something physical, because they don't really know me, as opposed to when they get into the program or any type of more nurturing environment, whether it's with a therapist or a group setting or whatever, where, like you said, it takes time for that to be reprogrammed in their minds, that there is something valuable about them and there is something lovable about them, and that the body is not what that's about.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, most of those kids, you know, are coming from homes where, you know, they've been probably at some point called every negative connotation you can put to being gay,
mm-hmm.
and or physically and or sexually abused.
At home, right.
Right. So, I mean, it's just, it, you know, here's somebody, whether, and we know it's not appropriate, but here's somebody who's telling me they love me, they think I'm beautiful, so it makes them feel good.
Mm-hmm. But they also experience the short-term aspect of that and the throwaway aspect of that, because like Jason was saying in this article, is like after a couple of years on the streets, they're looking a bit worn and they're looking older beyond their years. And, you know, there's a little bit of a shock when they realize they're not as much to sell as they used to.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah. We're going to continue this conversation with Sandy Ron when we come back from this break, so stay tuned.
Tell the truth faster. We'll be right back after this station break.
Stuart Altschuler, a licensed practicing psychotherapist since 1974, wants to let you know about his website at www.tellthetruthfaster.com. You will find the resources you need in these areas: self-empowerment, positive thinking, attention deficit disorder, individual and group HIV/AIDS counseling, addictions and compulsive behavior, intimacy and relationships. Get the information you need on these topics and more. Visit www.tellthetruthfaster.com. There's even a place to email Stuart with your questions, comments, and requests for information regarding his work. At www.tellthetruthfaster.com, you can find additional links for groups, organizations, and websites dedicated to help you identify and heal the issues you are experiencing. Visit www.tellthetruthfaster.com today.
Echo Magazine keeps you up to date on gay and lesbian issues and events that should matter to everyone. This award-winning bi-weekly magazine provides news, features, and editorials that are written almost entirely by locally based professional journalists. Plus, their website, www.echomag.com, is updated daily with hot news and information. Distributed at over 150 newsstands, street boxes, bars, and businesses, Echo Magazine keeps Arizona's GLBT community connected with news, arts and entertainment, health, and more. Echo Magazine is also a proud sponsor and participant of the Joe Amico Radio Show on AM 1100 KFNX. Tune in Thursday evenings at 10 for the Echo Magazine Weekly News Update. For more information on how to get your free copy of Echo Magazine, call 602-266-0550 or go to their website at www.echomag.com. That's 602-266-0550 or visit echomag.com.
Have you ever wondered what other small businesses do for health benefits? Who hasn't? When you went into business for yourself, you received a rude awakening. It's not an easy task to find affordable benefits. After endless searching and comparisons, discover the National Association for the Self-Employed. They actually specialize in benefits for the self-employed. Not only will you find it's the perfect health benefit package, you'll realize that they offer endless discounts on business and personal benefits, too. They've helped organize home offices and provided answers to all the questions you have on how to get started with your new business. We can't keep this association all to ourselves. You need to call them. Their goal is to improve all aspects of your business, professional, and personal life. NACE's number is 1-800-468-9449. Just in case you didn't catch the number, here it comes again. 1-800-468-9449. The description and availability of this offering may vary by state. That number again is 1-800-468-9449.
You're listening to Hot Talk, 1100 KFNX. Tune into Imus in the Morning from 5 to 9 a.m. and in the afternoons, the Tom Likas Show from 4 to 8 p.m.
Tell the Truth Faster is back. Here's Stuart Altschuler.
Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. And tonight, in talking about teens lost on the streets, part two, my guest has been Sandy Ron, who's the director of intake for the Gay, Lesbian, Adolescent Social Services here in Los Angeles. Is there, Sandy, other levels in terms of where these kids would go into GLASS that we haven't covered yet? Because I want to make sure that I know GLASS has so many different aspects to it that, you know, once they're off the streets, once they're in the group homes, where can they go from there and how can GLASS help them?
The other part is once they're off the streets, we do have independent living programs, transitional housing programs, which are basically apartments that we have rented to put the kids into, where we help them get into college and help them, if that's our vocational school, we help them get jobs so they don't, and then save money so that they can eventually go out on their own.
So you're actually teaching them life skills that most parents in a normal situation would have taught them, how to deal with checking accounts and bank accounts,
and
paying their bills and being responsible and showing up and looking right on a job.
How to shop, yeah,
mm-hmm.
Everything.
So really life skills,
uh-huh.
As opposed to survival skills.
Yes.
Great. A question that I know I asked you during the break, and I know it's a little bit touchy because I know as therapists and as care workers like you've been for so long, we try not to predetermine or assume anything about our clients, but I know that in my gut sometimes I pick up something about a particular client or even anyone that I'm meeting in general and get a feeling that there's something about them that says this one's going to make it. Are there certain characteristics you find in the ones that really do pull it together and really have the most success within the program or even in doing it on their own? Do you see certain things in some of these kids that seem to weigh in their favor?
I think the initial, you can maybe make that judgment, are some of the kids who are very actively searching us out,
mm-hmm.
Because they have these goals in mind, what they want to do, and many of them, when I interview them, will have a whole set of things. This is what I want to accomplish. You know, they're coming to me with that instead of some kids you have to kind of, for lack of a better word, kind of get them to dig it out of them and talk about what they want to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
Some of our kids, it comes when they've been with us a while, and you can see the change occurring when they're connecting in and they're realizing that they are okay and they're accepted for who they are, and they learn how to deal with people who, I like to use the word, are ignorant.
So. Mm-hmm. So basically they're erasing the messages about how bad they are and how defective they are, and all of a sudden, you know, that light inside is beginning to show.
Right.
Yeah. So sometimes, from what I gather, that about the first group of kids that you mentioned, that these probably would tend to be kids who had dreams and goals growing up, and probably once they realized they were gay or someone found out they were gay and they ended up running away, they were already running away with a certain level of awareness and consciousness about a future for themselves and stuff, and haven't lost that.
Yes.
As opposed to the kids that were so beaten down and didn't even have a chance to start dreaming.
Yeah, and it helps too with the what some of the kids are seeing, more of the media saying things positive, so they're realizing there is a future for them, and some of the more famous people that are coming out, you know,
mm-hmm.
it gives them a, you know, good sense of, okay, they can do it, I can do it.
Right. A sense of role modeling.
Yeah.
Which we keep wishing for more of.
Yes, that would be a real helpful, but the start's there.
Well, the start also is with people like you who are working in these programs, because in all honesty, you know, I give you a lot of credit. You know, I've always said and felt that it takes a special person to work with geriatrics and to work with teenagers and kids. It takes a certain passion and a certain clarity and a certain willingness to actually be a bit vulnerable, because I think working more so with those age groups, the oldest and the youngest, I think push more of our own buttons and bring up more of our own issues and forces us into more of our own healing process. And especially with the teenagers and the kids, they're not going to keep showing up if the adults that are there, like yourself, are not people that are making them feel comfortable and that are not judging them and that are making them feel welcome.
Right.
So I give you credit and a lot of the staff in those facilities, for choosing that and for showing up, because this is, I think, a more difficult area in terms of outreach to be doing. And on behalf of you know, all of us in the community. I mean, I thank you and I thank all of your cohorts and stuff, because I think it takes something extra to be out there on the streets and to be maintaining the patience and the focus with kids like this. Before we end this segment, is there anything else that I haven't asked you that you feel you'd like to say about GLASS or about the teenagers that you work with?
I would encourage people, if they're not sure of what's going on or how to help somebody, to definitely contact GLASS. Because we do try to do a lot of work to prevent kids from ending up on the streets also, because we have an outpatient program
mm-hmm.
where we try to work with the families so the kids don't end up on the streets.
Before they run away. So you're actually there for the families who want to find a way
to work
prevent
with their
that.
Kids.
That's excellent. We're going to take our final break here, and then we'll come back for some closing words, so stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Tell the truth faster. We'll be right back after this station break.
Stuart Altschuler, a licensed practicing psychotherapist since 1974, wants to let you know about his website at www.tellthetruthfaster.com. You will find the resources you need in these areas: self-empowerment, positive thinking, attention deficit disorder, individual and group HIV/AIDS counseling, addictions and compulsive behavior, intimacy and relationships. Get the information you need on these topics and more. Visit www.tellthetruthfaster.com. There's even a place to email Stuart with your questions, comments, and requests for information regarding his work. At www.tellthetruthfaster.com, you can find additional links for groups, organizations, and websites dedicated to help you identify and heal the issues you are experiencing. Visit www.tellthetruthfaster.com today.
Just about every day now, people are asking me how they may help improve their vision safely and effectively and without the risk of expensive laser surgery. I'm Dr. Henry Ettinger, and I've been recommending the See Clearly method for 2 years now, and I'm here to tell you it works. It wasn't long ago that I was beginning to need glasses myself, but using the See Clearly method has kept me out of glasses. The standard approach to vision care has been to buy stronger and stronger glasses as our vision gets worse. However, glasses just treat the symptoms and don't fix the problem. The See Clearly method is a natural program designed by optometrists who say the program may help you and your family start improving your vision at home safely and effectively. In just minutes a day, you may be seeing clearer, sharper, and better than you ever thought possible. I know, it works for me and it works for my patients. So call now for a free video which explains the power of the See Clearly method. Call 1-800-707-2250. 1-800-707-2250.
IMUS, Lycus, the best talk in the valley. Hot Talk 1100 AM, KFNX.
Tell the Truth Faster is back. Here's Stuart Altschuler.
Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster for a few closing thoughts here on tonight's show, which was the second part of Teens Lost on the Streets. First, I'd like to thank Sandy Ron. I want to thank you, Sandy, for first of all jumping in at the last minute and doing such a tremendous job. I felt very supported, and you certainly were the right person for the show tonight, so thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Also, if people want to find out more about GLASS, is there a website?
Yes, there is.
Can you tell us what the website is?
Yeah, it's www.glassla.org.
Okay, that's GLASS, GLASSLA.org. So if you want to get in touch with Sandy Ron, you can do that directly probably through that website, and also get more information on GLASS. They're always in need of volunteers. They're always in need of donations. I know that the LA Gay and Lesbian Center has had to go through a lot of cutbacks in the last year, and could really use a lot of support and help in volunteer hours as well as donation checks, and they can go specifically to GLASS if that's what you'd like to have happen. I really want to close the show tonight by reinforcing the fact that, as we say, the children are our future. And all of us, whether we're parents or whether we're not parents, whether we are lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, heterosexual, it's true for all of us. Unless we lay a foundation that is providing a sense of love and nurturing and safety for the children all over the world, particularly in our own communities, unless we're providing an environment that allows for healing and forgiveness to take place, unless as adults we're willing to accept our own part in what is causing some of the problems, whether it's our own abusive natures or our own fears, our own sense of criticism of the children, unless we're adults that are seeing abuse happening and instead of closing our eyes to it, are willing to step forward and to protect that child, to do something to create a sense of safety and nurturing for them. All of us are part of the problem. These kids are our future. I know it's a cliche, but it's as true as anything has ever been true. And it does take a special person to work with this community. For any runaway kids, but particularly the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender community of teenagers and children that are self-identifying or have been outed and have been abused and have been scared enough in their homes to leave, to sleep on the streets, under bridges and vacant houses, to sell their bodies, to do drugs as a way of killing the pain. Whatever is going on, we all have a responsibility to these children. We all have a responsibility to help them identify the power that they possess to give back, to help others, to do something good with their lives, and to believe that they can. And to me, that's the most important thing in any form of therapy, is to teach people to believe in themselves again, to believe that anything's possible, that the future is limitless, that they have the heart and soul and mind to do what they want to do with their lives. These kids are broken kids, but nothing is so broken that it can't be fixed. And that's what the staffs of GLASS and so many other programs all over the world like that, who are now doing outreach to help them heal. By helping these kids heal, we're helping our communities heal. By bringing peace where there's been fear and anger and rage and mistrust, we're bringing more peace and love and cohesiveness within our own communities. By teaching teenagers in the schools that the difference between one of them who's heterosexual and one of them who's homosexual is not such a terrible difference, and to really understand and engage one another in a way that's really going to build a community. We're all responsible for helping that happen, not just certain people. And these children are all of our responsibilities. And if we're in the gay and lesbian community, these kids are our kids. I want to thank you all for listening. I want to thank Gabriel for what he did last week. I want to thank Sandy for her participation this week. And please tune in. And for those of you who don't know, tonight is my 50th show. And I want to thank all of you for your support on that. So I'll see you next week. Good night.
Tell the Truth Faster, hosted by Stuart Altshuler, is broadcast live every week at the same time. Thank you for listening. So